Praise the Lord. Amen. And God is so good. Reach over and slap your neighbor a high five. See, some of you act before you listen, don't you? Hallelujah. Man, it is such an honor to be here today and just be with God's children. Love the Lord. And just it's an honor. It's such an honor to be here. And Sister Sharon's testimony blessed me because it really just kind of reiterates what God had given me for this week. I don't know about y'all, but I'm one of those preachers that I never know what I'm going to preach usually till I take that step right there. I may have been dealing with scriptures all week or all month or, you know, up all night, whatever, but man, it's God's just apt to change my mind, and I appreciate Him being able to do that, to be honest. But God is a great God. Hallelujah. He's a great God. And her testimony was so good because it dealt with our testimony and how people look and see us. And Tommy made me think about Lazarus. If you read just before Jesus' passion, before he went away, before the last Passover that he was here, we read that he went to a supper that was prepared in his honor at the house of Lazarus and Lazarus' sisters. And they made a supper and they waited on him, and one anointed washed his feet with this spikenard that she had cost a normal person a year's wages for this bottle of spikenard. But he was so important to her that she poured it on his feet, not his head, on his feet, and then dried his feet with her hair. They fed Jesus, but the Bible said there were many people that came to see Jesus, but not all of them came to see Jesus. Some of them came to see who? Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. What a testimony. And if you read on a little further, the Bible said they sought to kill Jesus, but not only Jesus, they sought to kill Lazarus. Because, and think about this, as Lazarus walked through the town, through the city, hallelujah, he brought conviction everywhere that he went. The conviction of God followed him, because that was a man who once was dead, but now he's alive. Hallelujah. The Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, they had taught from the synagogue for years that you will never be resurrected from the dead. Once you're dead, you're dead. He walked by that synagogue and they looked at him and he's making a liar out of us. He's proof that my doctrine is wrong. Did you know when you live for God and you live a holy life and a righteous life and you lift up the name of Jesus and you overcome sin, you are conviction to the world that you walk around. And when you walk through the streets of our cities, hallelujah, there may be some conviction. People want to duck their head and they may want to look the other way, but I want you to know it's your testimony. And it's by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb that we're made overcomers, my friend. Hold your head high and live for Jesus. Hold your head high and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what the world needs is conviction. That's what I'm going to preach on this morning. What the world needs is conviction. Holy Ghost, olfaction. Man, I'm telling you, in the 19th and beginning of the 20th century, men of God would get behind the pulpit and people had a reverence for the Lord. They didn't even have to be church members. They didn't even have to go to church. They didn't even have to be saved. Hallelujah. I have a friend, hallelujah, who was a drunk all of his life. Just a drunk, just not the kind of person that you would want to be around. Around at all. Hallelujah. And his wife, who was quite a religious lady, was going to a religious event, and he said, you know what? I'll drive you, but I'm not going in. And he drove her to this religious event, and he sat there in a parking lot, and he drank a few, and for some reason, he staggered in. Hallelujah. And he sat down in one of the seats, but there was enough conviction of God in the house that he left, hallelujah, filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, that he left with God in his heart. Hallelujah. That's been probably 30 years ago, and it still took. Hallelujah. He still got it. I want you to know, my friends, your testimony, hallelujah, when you live for God, it will convict the world. And they may not like you, and they may not want to be around you, and they may not want to fellowship with you. But when they need something from God, in the middle of their dilemma, after the car accident, after the bad doctor's report, how is you, they're going to call and say, pray for me. I need a move from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Most High God. If you have your scriptures, can we read a lot of scripture this morning? Scripture interprets scripture. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Who do men say that I am?" Their first words was, "Some say." Be careful about some say. There's a lot of some say in the world today. Hallelujah. I can throw the radio around and flip through the channels and find somebody preaching anything that appeases my flesh. Some say. Some say you don't have to live right. Some say, hallelujah. I want you to know the Word of God. You will never have more of God than you have of His Word. Because He is the Word. Hallelujah. If you want to know intimately our God, begin to get into the Word of God. If you want to know yourself, get into the Word of God. You know, some people think, "I have an emotional experience with the Lord when I was 10 years old or 15 years old, and that emotionally," you know, I want your emotions will mislead you. But the Word of God will never mislead you. If you really want to know about yourself, if you really want to know what you're made of and who you are, the Bible says that this Bible is like a looking glass. And it warns us that when we look into this Bible, it's going to show us who we really are. But he said, don't walk away and forget what manner of man. Hallelujah. Let the Word of God, hallelujah, impress you. If anything in this world impresses you, hallelujah. If anything in this world gets your attention, let it be the Word of God. Get a hold of the Word of God. David said, "I have hidden it in my heart that I might not sin again thee." I want to start out today in Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to entitle this thing. There was a comedian, a secular comedian, who made probably a whole lot of money talking about some of our mistakes in life and some of the things that goes wrong. And I believe his shtick was, "Here's your sign." Isn't that what he said? I'm going to preach today. Here's your sign. Here's your sign. Go with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I love this chapter. Man, I'm going to tell you what. Hallelujah. I just like to read this and just tell, "Listen, devil. Listen. Listen to this." Hallelujah. See, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as in fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all, somebody say all. Man, have you heard these people that say only the 12 got the Holy Ghost? It was only a select few on the. But the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem. I want you to get this verse. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men. Somebody say devout men. Out of every nation under heaven. The word devout there means that they were followers, that they had heard the law, they knew the law, they sought the law, they sought righteousness. They were devout in their faith. They didn't have all of the truth, but they were seeking, they were looking. See, there was a time in our nation, hallelujah, where there's never been a nation like the United States of America, but there's never been one that's been founded for the will of God and for the purpose, hallelujah, that God has given us to do. And by the way, God's not through with the U.S. He's not through with this nation. And that's why we're going through some reformation right now. And we're going to see more happen. And I'm going to tell you, more than we're going to see it in the government, we're going to see it in the house of God. We're going to see it in the people of God, where God is calling His people to holiness and righteousness and prayer, hallelujah, and devotion to the Word of God, my friend. God has a job for us today, hallelujah. And these were devout men. There was a time in this nation where we could feel safe that our children would go to school and they'd say the Pledge of Allegiance and they'd say a prayer, maybe the Lord's Prayer. There was a time when we could send them to school and understand that maybe most of our teachers had a walk with God. Hallelujah. And they were there not only for the education of our children. Most of our institutions of higher learning, hallelujah, were made to teach and send missionaries all over the world. Now they teach lust and ungodliness and secular humanism. Now they teach all kinds of things. Recently, one campus had a drive And if you would take your Bible there, they would give you pornography. And it was a drive that the atheist had. I want you to know that our schools have turned into the enemy of the Christian faith. They have turned out of the, when you take morality, well, I want to say morality, I'm going to say God in general, because you can still hold on some form of morality, but without God, it's shifting, it's sinking, it has no foundation. That moral will change with one generation to the next, but my God never changes. Hallelujah. That these were devout men. Somebody say devout men. Hallelujah. I'm going to come down to Acts chapter 2 versus Acts chapter 17. Because we read about a group of people in Acts chapter 2. How many people were won on the day of Pentecost to the church? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And our brother Peter, that this guy that was a little wishy-washy and didn't talk well and had some issues, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost gave him some boldness to step out in front of a group of people and to preach the Word of God. And we're going to read, we're over 3,000 people. Hallelujah, we're saved. Verse 14 in chapter 2 says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice, hallelujah, and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. These are not drunk as you suppose. I love reading this scripture. Hallelujah. There's something about being intoxicated that the Bible in several places likens to being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there's something about being intoxicated is you can't get around a bottle of whiskey and get drunk. You can't touch a bottle of whiskey. So you can go to church all you want to. That'll make you saved. That'll make you right with God. Hallelujah. And you can get around and touch that bottle and carry it around, and it's not going to affect you and intoxicate you until the toxicant gets inside you. But once you begin to drink it, see, hallelujah. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible, he said, he didn't say they weren't drunk. He didn't say that. He just said, they're not drunk like you think they're drunk. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is intoxicating. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen a drunk get drunk? They just lose all their faculties and their way of thinking. And you know, when we get to the place that the Holy Ghost just takes over how we walk and how we think and how we see, hallelujah. I've never seen a drunk that really cared what people thought about him. Hallelujah. Oh, when you just, let's get the Holy Ghost to where the world doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is a closer walk with Jesus. These are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is about the third hour of the day, but this is that, hallelujah, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. The reason he is saying this is because he's in front of a bunch of devout people who know what the prophet Joel said. He could go back and say, you know what, I'm going to prove to you that this is godly because you've read it in the Word. You're devout enough to know what the prophet Joel said. Hallelujah. I'm trying to let you see these people in Acts chapter 2 had a move of God because they had a foundation of respect, of fear of God, of the Word of God. Hallelujah. See, in our churches today, in our churches today, hallelujah, people don't even preach on sin anymore. They don't even begin to preach that homosexuality is wrong. They don't begin to preach, hallelujah, that hate and bitterness and jealousy is wrong. We don't preach on righteous living anymore. Matter of fact, we make people feel comfortable in their sin. We don't even address it. We call it a problem or an issue, or we send them to counseling, hallelujah, or conversion classes or whatever it is. But there's nothing, hallelujah, that's going to change you but the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible said, you know, when you're baptized, baptism is not a one-time thing. When you're baptized into Christ to arise to walk in newness of life. But just like the priests of old, when they were baptized ceremonially to enter into the service in the temple, they were washed every day before they went into the service. And before they went into the temple, they washed again. And you know how our washing today is we're washed by the water of the Word, that the Word of God cleanses us. Hallelujah. It washes away the filth of the world. Hallelujah. That's why you need to get into the Word of God. You'll never understand how saved you are until you see how wicked we were and how damning sin was in our life. There's people today that go to church every Sunday morning and don't even realize that there is a literal hell that is burning right now. Hallelujah. And that people will go there for eternity. How can we expect our children, hallelujah, and our grandchildren to reverence God when we send them to a teacher of humanism 6 or 7 hours a day and they tell them there is no God. There is no God. And they begin to teach them about the Big Bang Theory and evolution. I want you to know something. We need to stand up and just say enough is enough. God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. We need, hallelujah, to have a reverence for God. Devout men. Devout men. Men who sought the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't ever think that you're going to be an overcoming Christian and you pick your Bible up once a week and you read a chapter and you follow a little devotion every now and then. Yeah. It don't happen that way. You want an anointing from God? Hallelujah. You want to pray some people out of the fire? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to have to get into the Word of God. You're going to have some stability. You're going to have a foundation to stand on. And anything, hallelujah, that's not the Word of God, it's shifty. It changes. It moves. It's some say. It's the last doctrine. It's the doctrine du jour. Hallelujah. You know, for a while there, we ran around and laid hands on everybody, and the churches had wheelchairs, and we had crutches all over the churches, decorating the churches. God heals. I'm not taking anything away from that. But you need to follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And not the doctrine du jour. Hallelujah. The prosperity doctrine took its toll on the church. And there was people that just lost it because they didn't get a new Mercedes. Hallelujah. And they just lost it because they were struggling a little bit because it was the doctrine du jour. We need to get into the Word of God and be rooted and grounded. We're going to read in a minute about some Greeks who sought after knowledge. See, we got a church house today full of people who are seeking after knowledge. They want to win the next argument. They want to write the next bestseller. But they need to be following Jesus. They need wisdom. But the Bible said, knowledge puffeth up. Have you seen those people? They think they know everything. I'm going to tell you something. Me and God know everything. God and I know everything. He knows most of it. Hallelujah. I can't take much credit there. But they seek after knowledge. The Bible said they're ever learning. But they never come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. If you could just get a reverence for God and His Word. Not to make you be able to win another argument, but to get you closer to the Master. Abba, Father, Daddy, hallelujah. These men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is what you've been reading about. This is what the prophet Joel said. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. And they shall prophesy. Then Peter said unto them, I love this message. There's enough in this next verse to save you if you'll just take it to heart. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Somebody say repent. That's the first thing we don't teach in church anymore. Repentance has been thrown out the window. And I love the Lord. I appreciate God, and I appreciate every step anybody will take toward God. But there's been a lot of times, just like our sister said, that we were coaxed into saying a 30-second prayer that wasn't sincere. And we entrusted and built our eternal salvation on a prayer that didn't even come from our heart. Somebody was whispering it in my ears. I remember the days when I was a young man, and you'd be down at the altar seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and somebody get in your ear, and they'd start start saying, tie my tie, retie my bow tie, now repeat after me. It doesn't come that way. The Bible said that hallelujah, they spake in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Gave utterance means a language. God gave them a language. It came from heaven above. It didn't come from some, it wasn't say so. It was God said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't preach repentance in the church anymore. Matter of fact, you really can't ever be saved until you repent. You can't have a walk with God, and you can't ever repent. The Bible said, godly sorrow leadeth to repentance unto salvation. And when you understand, see, everybody says there's this dispensation of law, and there's this dispensation of grace. No. It's God teaching us how bad we need His grace. It's God just showing us that we're sinners. Hallelujah, that we're wretched. Hallelujah, that we're vile. And nothing can touch us and nothing can cleanse us but the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you begin to look at the commandments and the law of Moses, we're so woefully inadequate. We're so far away. Hallelujah. That there was a rich young man who came and said, I have kept all the commandments from my youth up, but there was still something in his heart that was wrong. There was still something in his heart. It's amazing how when you get sincere with God and you begin to go to God and you begin to ask him questions, he'll show you those things in your life, those places that need to be shored up. Hallelujah. He said, okay, now go take everything that you have and sell it and give to the poor. And the Bible said that the man walked away sorrowful. The one thing, he probably took a lot of pride in being able to say, I kept all the commandments. But God went down to the heart of the matter, the issue, and said, now let's really look down inside of your heart. You know, when you really get down into the Word of God, it takes you places that you may not even know is there. I was telling Brother Ronnie, I guess, I'm privileged enough to be in some kind of little chat group with some of you men here, and we kind of chat back and forth and preach to one another on Messenger and Facebook, and I guess we got our phone numbers or something, so... You know, we were just talking the other day about how, you know, I thought I had pride whooped years ago. You know? But Lord, I don't have anything to be proud about. I'm just a redneck. I have been told I look like Elvis. Not now, but years ago. Many years ago. Well, you can ask my wife when I was in my mid-20s and up to about 30. I don't know how many times somebody stopped me and said, has anyone ever told you you look like Elvis? I got to where I just nod my head and go on. So I think Elvis died in his 40s. So if you ever want to know what a 60-year-old Elvis looks like, hallelujah. But I thought this pride thing was gone, Brother Sean. I thought, I don't have anything to be proud about. Nothing in my life. You know, hallelujah, nothing to be, and you know, the little things that you think, the battles that you think you have won, you have thought you have won, you thought, it's you know, hallelujah, you think, I've already fought that battle, God will show you things in your heart you didn't know were there. Hallelujah. He'll take you to places in your life. Hallelujah. If you'll just really ask him and you'll come to him and just be honest. Hallelujah. And Peter said, repent. Man, I just want to stop there and preach for about a week. But I told Kevin, we got to go feed the homeless at 2 o'clock, so I can't preach past 1. He said, that's about like I do. Hallelujah. And then he said, repent. And then he said, what? Be baptized. You cannot follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ and not go down into a baptismal pool. Because his steps lead there. Oh, I follow Christ, but I'm not baptized. Well, he went to John the Baptist and said, John, you baptized me. Suffer it to be so that I might fulfill all righteousness. So if you're going to really follow him, guess where you're going to follow him to? Hallelujah. It's your burial. It's looking at your old self and coming to the realization that this old man is dead and buried. Hallelujah. But I love baptism, not just because it's a burial, but it's also a resurrection. We preach a whole lot about burying people. We buried 30, you know, we at the Promise one night this week, it was a couple of weeks ago, 174, A church brought almost 200 people. We had baptismal service, and just the Lord moved, and it was great. And I just thought, yeah, you know, that's wonderful. But we preach a lot about burying people in and with the Lord. But the Bible said the reason we do that is they might arise to walk in newness of life. You know, it was neat to go down in that burial pool, but I want you to know when I come out, I wasn't the same. Hallelujah. When Jesus come out of the water, the Bible said, lo, the heavens were open. I want to come out to some open heavens. I want to come out, hallelujah, where I've been resurrected in a new walk with my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. I've taken upon His name and His authority. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the Most High King, heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I have been resurrected into new life with Him. If you've been baptized, hallelujah, my friends, it's a new walk with God in your life. You need to go around expecting the heavens above you to be open and God speaking to you and God working in your life. Repent and be baptized, some of you. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you might. So I was just taught, when you ask God for something, you better expect it. Because He's going to do it. And He said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I love this. For the promise is unto you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you've done. I don't even care who you done it with. I want you to know, my friends, that the promise is unto you. This promise of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. For the promise is unto you and unto your children. And unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And there were many, and with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received His word and were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. I submit to you that this was a great, this was the first message of the church age. This was the first message after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Hallelujah. And did you know something, my friend? He stepped out and He began to speak to some devout men. Men who had a foundation in the Word of God. See, you know why we have so much trouble in our churches today? Some churches couldn't have revival if they wanted to. Because there's no foundation for revival. There's no acknowledgement of the headship of Jesus Christ or the ministry. There is no acknowledgement of faith in prayer and in what God is doing. There is no a knowledge of the Word of God. Hallelujah. There is no respect for the things of God. And Lord knows there's no 8 o'clock prayer meetings on Sunday mornings. Hallelujah. Like y'all guys are having right here. And if you're not here at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whenever, get here as soon as you can and get on your knees. Hallelujah. Because if you want to see God do great things, it's going to be when you begin to revere His word and you begin to call out His name in prayer. And did you know the Bible tells us that when we pray, that is in our humanness, we don't always even know how to pray. I have a friend once who owned a tire store. And he was a praying man. He was devout. But something happened in his life that made just a shift of paradigm. It's just amazing what happened in his life. And he said, you know, Brother Coomer said, the pastor came and said, we're going to do a special series on prayer and I want you to teach it. And he said, I thought, sure, everybody knows how to pray. I can handle this. He said, but I felt compelled to really get down in the Word of God. See, when you really get down in the Word of God, revelation happens. And he said, so I began to study the Word of God. And he said, I got convicted. He said, if I'm going to teach on prayer, I better pray more. If I'm going to be telling everybody else to go pray more, I better do it. He said, so the first day I said, I'm going to set myself a goal and I'm going to pray an hour. He said, so I got into my little office and I locked the door and I said, don't anybody mess with me, leave me alone. He said, I got down and I prayed and I screamed and I cried and I lifted my hands and I shouted a while and I talked with God and I looked and it had been 10 minutes. And he said, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to sit here. Even if there's nothing in my heart and coming out of my mouth, I'm going to reverence you enough to say I'm going to stay here before you for an hour. And he said, I stayed there for the rest of that 50 minutes. And he said, I tried to pray and I talked to the Lord. And he said, you know what? He said, by the end of the week, he said, I'd get down on my knees and I'd start to pray. And he said, I'd pray. And he said, before long, I'd get up and I'd been there for an hour and a half or 2 hours. I don't know where the time went. And he said, I seen God do so many things. Hallelujah. But he said, I was determined to not be defeated. I was determined to talk to God. And he said, during that time, he said, sometimes I would pray plumb through dinner. Now, that had to be God. He said, I would be in that prayer room praying, and my wife would come knock on the door and say, come on out and it's eat. Supper's ready. It's on the table. And he said, I'll be there in a minute. And he said, I'd come out of my prayer room. It'd be time to go to bed, and supper was gone and cold. And he said, I didn't even really matter anymore because I'd been in a place with my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. I had been in fellowship with God, and food did not seem important at the time. And he said, you know, there was such a sensitivity in my spirit that when someone walked into my business, And I could tell, I could just feel how they needed to be ministered to. I could feel that maybe this one was going through a divorce, or that one was going through some financial difficulty, or that one had this issue or that. The Holy Ghost would just begin to allow me to see so I could better minister and I could talk to them. And he said, people would call me up and say, where's my tires you're supposed to have? And he said, I just flat forgot. He said, used to, I'd make up an excuse and said, oh, they haven't got here yet, or I'd blame it on the distributor. But he said, I couldn't find myself even stretching the truth at all. You know, just because he prayed, he talked to God. We need. They gladly received the word and were baptized that same day and were added into them about 3,000 souls. Now, if we go to Acts chapter 17, we're going to see the exact opposite of this. Paul's preaching to a bunch of people that are Stoics, Grecians, philosophers, seekers of knowledge in our world today. Aren't we full of seekers of knowledge? It's amazing. I want to look at people like Richard Dawkins and just say, hey, here's your sign. You know, because I've heard him debate people about creation and evolutionism. And when he gets down and he talks about, you know, this happened and this happened, and he gets down to that one single cell organism, you ask him where it came from, and he says, we don't know. And they complain about my faith? What kind of faith takes us all the way back to a single-cell organism and then tell you we don't know where it came from? It could have came from an alien. That's one of his explanations. It could have came from an alien. Yeah, yeah. You're talking about faith. That's some faith now. That's stretching it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he's talking. Peter's talking to people like this. And they have no foundation. See, it's so important. It's so important that we get into the Word of God. It's so important that the Word of God becomes an important part of our daily life. It's so important that prayer. Matter of fact, hallelujah, I don't know about y'all, a lot of these folks I talk to, a lot of you guys that message me, y'all message me about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Because God got us all up on our knees. Yeah, yeah. You get in on this little group, that phone will ding about 3 o'clock, and you'll jump up, and it's going to be some good word. And you can read some word or hear a message, but God probably has you already. You're probably already up and studying the Scriptures anyhow. Hallelujah. And the Bible said in Acts chapter 17, verse 1, now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, these are Jewish people, just like it was in Acts chapter 2. See. I said, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and out of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world, what a testimony, these that have turned the world upside down have come here also.
What are the folks in Chico saying about this little church? Man, them bunch of Holy Ghost filled, praying, you know, tongue talking, devil casting out. Hallelujah. hallelujah. What's going on in that place up there? What are they doing? I remember, y'all know Clayton and Michelle Armstrong. I remember the first Sunday she walked into this church and sat right back there, and she reached over and tapped us on the shoulder and says, "Can I have a visitor's card?" Hallelujah. You know what happens when your testimony is like Lazarus? When your testimony gets to the place that people begin to hear about the miracle that God has done in your life. Hallelujah. When you walk through a family reunion, everybody looks at you, and they may not want to come up and shake your hand because they may have a little alcohol on their breath, or they may be doing something they shouldn't do. But they look at you, and they know what you used to be. And they see what God has done in your life. Some of them may want to kill you just like they did Lazarus. I don't know. Hallelujah. But I want you to know the Bible said that many came to see Lazarus, whom the Lord raised from the dead. Hallelujah. What a testimony. Here's and when this happened, the Bible said in verse 10, said, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming together went into the synagogue of the Jews. There were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily." See, we see more devout people here that receive the word of God. I'm just trying to lay a foundation that if you're not in the word of God, don't expect God to do great things in your life. He wants to. But it's the word of God. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if you're not seeing things move and motivate and work in your life, where's your faith? How do you increase your faith? How do you get your faith? Faith cometh by hearing. Get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Get into the place that God is speaking to you every day in His Word. I've heard more and more people tell me over the years, "Well, I read the Bible and I just don't understand it." That's just the point that you really are. You really are in a place you need to be in the Bible. You're very carnal. Hallelujah. You're very carnal. You know why? Because the Bible said that the Word of God, the things of God, can only be interpreted and understood by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And when you get into the Spirit, God begins to give you wisdom and understanding. And if you have trouble reading the Word of God, that doesn't mean put it down and leave it alone. It means get into the Word of God and ask for wisdom, because the Bible said, "If any man lack wisdom, let him come to the throne of grace and ask boldly, because God will give liberally. He's not stingy with it, and He upbraideth not." He's not going to berate you or belittle you for things that we don't know. He's not going to belittle us for the things that we don't understand. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us to the keys to the kingdom. He wants to teach us and instruct us, and He wants us to be studious about His Word and get into the Word of God. And these men, the Bible said, they gladly received the Word of God. But we go on to read in verse 16 that they put Paul on a boat and sent him off. Hallelujah. They sent Paul off, and the Bible said this. It said, "Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." Hallelujah. Athens was the intellectual capital of the world. You know, we have places like that today. You know, places where all the flakes go. All the super intelligent people that have figured this thing out, and they have all the answers. And you look at those places are devoid of sanity. They may have a lot of wisdom, but remember, or a lot of knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up. Hallelujah. The difference between wisdom and knowledge is you can know something and not know how to use it and control it, and not be able to apply it to your life. I don't know how many volts are coming into this church, but it's a whole lot more than 110 or 220. The power that comes in is like 17,000 volts or something, and then they take it to a transformer, and then it's transformed down to 220 volts, and then we bring it in here, and we take it to 110 circuits and 220 where it needs to go. But if it wasn't harnessed, if it wasn't used properly, if it wasn't put in the proper perspective, it's destructive. If there wasn't a breaker and a transformer between that pole and all these instruments, those instruments would fry. And if we get knowledge, If it's not, he said, to get that, get knowledge and wisdom, but with all thy getting, the book of Proverbs, get some understanding. Take this knowledge and apply it in a way that it's useful, that benefits you. Hallelujah. When we study the Word of God, God didn't give us an intellect about His Word or understanding of His Word so we can go out and show our intelligence and win the next argument. But He gave it to us so we could lift one another up and strengthen one another and encourage one another. Tell somebody about the God of glory who loves them and wants to touch their soul. Hallelujah. That He wants to pull them out of the sin that they're in and the mire that they're in and put their feet on a solid rock. Paul walked through this city. Athens was the intellectual capital of the world. But as you walk through it, it was literally covered with idols. Everywhere you looked was statues and idols. Paul was aghast as he walked through here. They were beautiful. They were made out of marble and wonderful things, gold and silver. They were immaculate. It was beautiful. But it was, hallelujah, it was idols. It was other gods. And Paul was taken aback by it. The Bible said that his spirit was stirred within. Does your spirit get vexed and stirred within you? I can listen to some of the stuff on the radio today that they call church and get vexed in my spirit. Spirit and stir. I heard a man teaching the other day how about it was sinful once that you've come to God to ever go back and ask for forgiveness. I said, where in the world? He couldn't find scripture and show you scripture. He went about it the roundabout way and talked about things that were totally irrelevant and about how it used to be in history and just show me in the Word of God. I want you to know, hallelujah, I thank God I can go to God every day and say, God, hallelujah, I don't have it all together yet, but I want you to forgive me of any sin or shortcoming in my life and walk upright before God. Hallelujah. When you think, oh, hallelujah, this doctrine that once I've said a little prayer, I can do anything and God forgives me. I don't have to worry about it anymore. This once saved, always saved. Hallelujah. That's got more people, hallelujah, walking a sinful path and headed to hell than anything that has ever happened. And they think that they're secure in their salvation, but they don't read the Word of God. They don't have an experience. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you and get into the Word of God. And it begins to highlight those things in your life that God wants to deal with and change. Wholly given to idolatry. And he said, therefore departed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Every day Paul went somewhere in the synagogue and wherever he could preach, he was preaching. Wherever he found a statue, he'd point his finger to it and said, you know what? That's not the God that we should serve. That God can't save me. Hallelujah. That God can't heal me. That God can't set me free. That God can't answer my prayers. It's wood, it's stone, it's gold. But I serve a God who lives and a God who created heaven and earth. I serve a God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he would preach everywhere he could. And the Bible said, and then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. See, the Stoics believed that you really couldn't do anything about your salvation. There's people that preach predestination and other things. It's if you're saved, you're saved, and if you're not, you're not. And you know, the Bible said that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will that anybody go to hell. It's your choice. It's up to you. Because if you want to be saved, I guarantee there's a cross standing between you and your death. There's a cross standing between you and eternity. And if you go to hell, you're going to walk up to that cross and turn and go around it and find your way to a literal burning hell because God put a cross. He put something there. The Bible said the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying worldly lust. Oh, that means you got to live right. I'm going to tell you, if you really get to good, you'll want to live right. You really get saved, you'll want to live right. You may not always do the right thing, but man, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have a sorrowful relationship with God. You're going to get down on your knees and repent and say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. When you really get the Holy Ghost, you're going to want to live right. These Stoics believed that, oh, well, they believed in a very pious way of living. They were very, we have to live just like this. But nobody could ever live up to it. Matter of fact, they taught that it was better to die than to live an unholy life. And then they taught that you really couldn't live a holy life. Doesn't make a bit of sense, does it? Stoics. The Bible said, and some said, What will this babbler say? Others, some he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. They're talking about Paul here. What is this babbler going to say? Anybody ever, you begin to witness to them, they just kind of shake their head. What's this babbler going to say? They seen you coming and duck their head and walk the other way in Walmart because they knew you was going to preach to them. Conviction got there before you did. Hallelujah. What is this babbler going to say? And others said, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus. You know, there's Christians today that when you really tell them about Jesus, it's strange to them. When you tell them about what God is doing today, when you tell them about the move of God in the world today, hallelujah. And it said, the Bible said to them, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him into Areopagus, saying, or the Mars Hill is what it was, the meeting place in Mars Hill, saying, may we know what this new doctrine therefore thou speakest is, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Some new thing. Hallelujah. But the Bible said, seek ye the old paths and walk in. There's where you're going to find rest for your soul, salvation. And I love this next verse. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hills and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you are too superstitious. For I passed by and I beheld your devotions. I seen your worship. I seen where your heart was. I seen what you were seeking after. I seen what you hungered after. I seen what was really important to you. See, people don't have to look far to see what's important in our lives. That's really our testimony. That's really our testimony. What's important to our lives? What's really driving us? What do we talk about when we get together? Hallelujah. And he said, for I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription. Here's your sign. I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Wow. We're living in America today. A nation who has fed more people than we'll ever be able to imagine or count. A nation that has sent missionaries all over this world and brought revival. A nation who was founded. Have you ever read the history of the Quakers, the early people who came over? John Penn, some of the early people who came over in this nation. Have you ever read their history? They were devout men. They were men who sought the will of God above all others. That's why they made that trip across the ocean to come here so they could bow down on their knees and not be made to worship a certain God in a certain way. But I want you to know those guys, William Penn, those guys, their history is amazing of the things that they went through and done and how that they seen God move in their life. And they started this nation and God blessed this nation. And it brought us up to preach the gospel. And we've sent men and women all over the world and had revivals and sent revivals. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know now it's where people have to send missionaries. I was on a flight to Haiti, and we were going to go there and preach the gospel, and I sat next to a missionary from Haiti. I was going to Haiti, and he was coming back to Haiti from the United States, and he said, yeah, God sent me over to the U.S. to preach gospel to you heathens. He said, somebody's got to go over there and straighten you guys out. Y'all are a mess, you know, to the unknown God. Some churches today, if you go in and preach the God of the Bible, they're going to say, who are you talking about? Who is that? That's not my God. It's not what my pastor said. Yeah. They have knowledge. They know who God is, just like our sister said. But they don't know him. I heard a story once. You've probably heard it. I'll give it to you in closing. How many times do I get to close? How many times does Kevin get to close? Yeah, doesn't matter. We don't keep count, right? There was a Bible college. Y'all probably heard this, but I feel led to share it. And he had some pupils in this class. They were studying homiletics and all these things, and he was just talking to him about diction and how you preach and all those things that I never learned and never will. And he was teaching him how to deliver a message properly and how to stand so far from the pulpit and lean and, you know, the pregnant pause where you stop and all these good things. And he said, I'm going to show you. So he had the star pupil to come up and he said, I want you to recite the 23rd Psalms. So that young man got up there and with all of his knowledge and teaching, he began to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And he recited the 23rd Psalms and everybody was in awe and they clapped and they said, oh man, that was so good. And he said, now I'm going to show you contrast. I'm going to show you the contrast. So he walked out in the hall and he got the guy that was mopping the floor. Just one old man who was out there just mopping the floor, mopping away. And he said, sir, could you come in here and help us? And he said, if you want. And he came in and he opened up the Bible to the 23rd Psalms. And he said, could you read this with your best voice? Just project and just read this to the congregation. And the old janitor looked down and he said, the 23rd Psalms. And he closed the Bible. And some tears began to fall from his eyes. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the teacher, before it was over, he stood up, he hung his head, and he said, that young man knows the 23rd Psalms, but that man knows the shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the unknown God. Paul went on to say, he added his two cents. He said, whom you ignorantly worship. I submit to you that in our world today, there's churches all over our country that are ignorantly worshiping a God who wants to fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and set them free, who wants to heal them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me for just a moment? Hallelujah. World, here's your sign. You can have all the knowledge and understanding. You can have all the wealth of the world. But man, if you don't get into the Word of God and get a foundation, if you don't let the Word of God begin to affect you and change you, if the Word, if you can't come to church and feel conviction, I'm telling you something. You need to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit that every once in a while, Pastor Kevin steps on your toes and you get out on your knees. Say, God, I know I got some things that I'm working on, and give me grace, give me mercy, because conviction is nothing more but God loving you. Conviction is an invitation to do better. Conviction is an invitation to get closer to God. Hallelujah. I used to sit there as a young man on that pew and do like this and squirm, hallelujah, till the altar call was over and I could hurry and run out the door. But now I say, praise God. God, show me anything in my life that isn't like you. Convict me of those things, God, that aren't pleasing to you, to the unknown God. Hallelujah. You guys are so privileged and so blessed to be in a place where the Word of God is held high. You're so blessed to be in a place where around you are people that want to keep you accountable. You know how important that is? Hallelujah. It's important to have brothers and sisters in the Lord that will keep you accountable. They'll send you a message at 3 o'clock in the morning and God knows exactly what you need. It's important, hallelujah, to be able to go to someone in the church and put your arm around them and share with them. And know that it's only going to go between them and God. To the unknown God. See, are we Acts 2 Christians who are devout? And when God begins to speak and the word begins to go forth, that there was 3,000 folks that was added to the church that day. But are we standing over here in secular humanism and doubt and unbelief, where Paul could preach the word of God and he passed through and he's appalled? Hallelujah. I'm not saying this body's that way. Far from it. But I'm saying that the world is full of some say. The world is full of explanations why God doesn't still pour out His Spirit, but He does. The world's full of explanations why people don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, but they do. The world is full. I talked with the guy at length once, and he began to try to explain to me why. I said, why do you pray for people that are sick if you don't think God could heal? Well, it's not that God can't heal, but he just doesn't do it in the same way. You're going to have to explain. That's some say. You're going to have to explain to me why the Bible said that if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, and they shall pray over them and anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sin, tell me why that doesn't happen today. Because it does. Some say. I want to warn you today, my friends. I want to tell you something. Make this a priority. Before anything that you do, make this a priority. I'll guarantee that if you'll get into your Word and you let the Word of God begin to... You may read some things that you don't understand. I'm going to pass this on. I love the Amplified version, the guitar player's version. Doyle Dykes told me that. He said, "Brother, do you read the guitar player's Bible?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The Amplified." And then he laughed, you know. and so I started reading the Amplified. I love it. I really do. I love the King James Version. It's so poetic. It's my go-to. But did you know what? Allie, God really does want you to know His Word and understand His Word. And if you'll get the Bible out, hallelujah, and you'll begin to read and you'll begin to pray and you say, "God, give me wisdom and give me understanding." Before long, there'll be a devotion in your life, a depth in your life, a stability in your life. There'll be a change in your life. Hallelujah. When we were raising our children, we didn't have a television. We may have had a radio. We ran out. We wore out. We had this little cheap cassette player, and we probably wore out about 10,000 little praise tapes and Charity Church Mouse. Do anybody remember Charity Church Mouse? Those little mice that lived in a church, and they had a choir called the Cheeses for Jesus. Y'all don't remember that? Am I that old? Am I that old? Oh my Lord, our children loved that. And they had these little high voices, and they were little mouses. They lived in a church house, so they sang praise and worship music. It was wonderful. Hallelujah. This is before VeggieTales. I mean, there was, you know, it was before all that kind of Power Book or whatever it is, Power or whatever. And our children, they had religious books to read and their school books. And they would listen to these praise and worship tapes. And Sam, till today, to this day, we had a Bible study that we gave everywhere we go. It was like a 16-week Bible study. It was called Search for Truth. Yeah, Search for Truth. And it had a big chart, you know. And here, my little 6 or 7 year old boy just flipping those charts and reading that book. And Sam's in his 30s today. And I'm praying for him because I want him to be much closer to God than he is right now. But he could still, in his mind, flip those charts and quote every scripture. There's a foundation that's going to keep him even in the time of trouble, and it's going to draw him closer to God than he is today. Hallelujah. Man, would you do me a favor? Would you just reach over? I'm not going to say slap your neighbor. Would you just join hands with him for a moment? Father God, I just want to pray a love for your word in this congregation. I know they love your word. I know everyone here loves your word. But God, I want you, Lord, to just cause us to make it a priority to study your word. It's the thing in our life that sustains us, that directs us. It's by your word that we have direction. It's by your word that our faith is increased. It's by your word, hallelujah, oh Jesus, that we're convicted and that we're changed. Hallelujah, Lord, I want you to put in us a fervent desire to pray. Hallelujah, to call out your name. Hallelujah, to bear our innermost beings before you in the prayer closet. Father God, I want you, Lord, right now to move. Hallelujah. Make us an Acts chapter 2 kind of people, that we are devout in our walk with you, so that when your spirit moves, thousands can be touched and thousands can feel, hallelujah, your anointing. Let us be, hallelujah, a devout people, hallelujah, that is conducive to a move of God and to a revival in our neighborhood and in our church and in our country. And I just ask it and believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless y'all. I love y'all. We love y'all. I'm going to say my beautiful wife back there loves y'all too. So if you get a chance, shake her hand. She really is my better half. I'm married up. Lord bless y'all. Lord bless you, Brother Sean. Bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Y'all have a good week. We will see y'all Thursday, right? Thursday night throwdown. Thursday, day after Wednesday, right before Friday. Amen. Y'all be blessed. Have a good week.